Welcome to Burrows and Burbs with hosts John Engel and Roberto Cabrera. Over the next hour, you're going to learn some insider knowledge that will help you overcome and strategize in the cutthroat world of real estate. Now, here are your hosts, John and Roberto.
Welcome, everybody. Burrows and Burbs, number 122, season 4. I'm your host, John Engel from Douglas Elliman in Connecticut. And that's my co-host, Roberto.
I'm on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I work for Brownhurst Stevens. Thanks
for being here. Roberto Cabrera. And we've got every Thursday, 3 o'clock East Coast, we come to you with insightful conversations about the national real estate landscape. Any place that might be of interest to New Yorkers, hence the boroughs and burbs. And today we are in Northern Virginia, Maryland, and the DC suburbs. And we want to understand why that's important to New Yorkers. I was surprised to find out that three of the most wealthy counties in America are in the DC suburbs and Northern Virginia. So we want to understand, what is the allure? What's the attraction of this area of the country? Before we begin, I want to share my screen and give a shout out to my friends at Grace Farms. They're having the third annual Design for Freedom Summit coming up on March 26, 10 to 6 p.m. See all those people coming? They all gather in the 800-seat auditorium and discuss the problems we're having with forced labor in the building material supply chain. It's going to be an impressive day of panels, roundtables, tours, with a jazz breakfast and a cocktail reception. You'll find it at designforfreedom.org, and make sure you sign up and get your tickets. And without any further ado, I'd like to introduce the Shively team from Douglas Elliman, Tracy Shively, Laura Bean, Melody Hooker, and Emily Shively. And I'd like to introduce my other guest, Shari Granvall, who's from Compass. And without further ado, let's just dive right in. And can you explain to me, Shari, what is your market? Where is your market? Where in the world are we? And what's your expertise?
Hi, thank you for having me. So a little bit about my history too. I actually live in DC proper, but in a neighborhood that feels a bit like a suburb. I came to Washington, DC to go to college here. I went to GW and I ended up getting stuck here in a good way because I met my husband my senior year, and he got hired by a big Wall Street law firm in New York City, and he was choosing where to work, and he chose the DC office. And his reasons for choosing DC, and he could have worked at the New York office or a couple other offices around the country, his reason for choosing DC, and I saw this with a lot of his classmates at Yale Law School, and they had good options, those Yale law grads. He chose DC because of the lower cost of living here in comparison to New York, and just having a bit more space and greenery. So that's why he and several of his classmates chose this area. But my expertise, this is my 20th year in real estate. I love this career. It's a blessing. My expertise is really inside the city and the close-in Maryland suburbs. Most of my clientele, they've either lived here for a while or they are moving from other places. So I do have a perspective on why people do choose like Maryland over Virginia sometimes, or Virginia over Maryland, or to stay in the city proper. We'll get into that more later.
Excellent. And Laura, why don't you talk to us about the Shively team and a little bit about what market you cover?
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you. I have been part of the Shively team for about 4 years now, but I am originally born and bred in Virginia, Maryland, DC. I was born in DC, grew up in my first 5 years of DC, and then the rest of my life in Virginia. So I think that when it comes to knowing the landscape of the DMV, which is what we're commonly referred to, the DMV, that we know it pretty well. Tracy Shively, who's the head of our team, I'm sure she's next to talk, but she and I both are true Washingtonians, born, raised, and know quite a bit. And I think our niche is the luxury market in Northern Virginia, Maryland, and DC. But we tend to focus a lot in the Northern Virginia area because it does seem to draw a lot of people now. A lot of people are moving into Northern Virginia.
Should I move? Should I ask Tracy, or should I put up the map?
The map?
I'm going to put the map up because we keep talking about DMV and NOVA. Nova, I guess, is the Northern Virginia market, and you just mentioned a new acronym for me, which is the DMV.
Yeah, a lot of people know us as the DMV, which is District, Maryland, Virginia.
Okay.
And, you know, it's the proximity of the district. So you either live in Virginia, you live in Maryland, or you live in D.C. We all kind of share the district as our common denominator.
Because it looks like to get to Maryland, I have to drive pretty far out of Washington, D.C. But to get to Northern Virginia, it's rather short. It's right over the river.
Can I interject? I live in D.C. and I can see Maryland from my house. It's a block.
Okay.
She can see Russia from her house. It's the same idea.
Yeah. Okay. And we live right by the Potomac, and we literally in an area called Great Falls, and you literally can look over the Potomac into Maryland.
Okay. Where is that on this map?
So beautiful. That is such a beautiful area.
It is pretty.
Left.
Thank you.
You're kind Great of going north, a bit- northwest a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Great Falls is a bit west of McLean. Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
Top left, right under the restaurants. Yep.
Okay. Right to the left, right by the Capitol. Picture.
Oh, over
the photo
here?
Of the Capitol. The photo of the Capitol.
Oh.
Right now you're in my neighborhood. You're almost in my neighborhood right now.
On the left perimeter at the top, Great Falls. Across
see where it says Great Falls Park?
Oh, I see. Way over there. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but you know what? It's 11, where I live is 11 miles from downtown D.C. So that's kind of the misnomer, is that you think it's so far, but it's not from D.C.
Physically how many miles and how long of a commute when you're in Great Falls?
So it takes me about 20 minutes to get to the city.
Okay.
Into D.C., and I'm 11 miles from the city.
Wow. I'm 40 miles from New York City, and there's no way I'm getting in less than an hour.
But you're here all the time. You are. So okay. Can I ask something about the dynamic of living around D.C.? Like in New York, the concentration of your occupation, I mean, work from home has changed things, but people, everybody came to the city to work for the most part. And in the suburbs, you went back home to the suburbs. DC is a little bit different where there's work downtown, but not everybody works downtown. People who live in Northern Virginia, their offices are in Northern Virginia and vice versa and things like that. So the commute to downtown is less important, right? Or not?
Depends. I think the really wealthy people that live here don't necessarily have to go down to their offices all the time, but it still is a factor for a lot of people who are moving here, especially first-time home buyers and people in kind of middle budgets, not the super high end. It is important, their commute. So often you do hear, I hear new buyers when I speak with them that they want to be they ask me for guidance on about 30 minutes to work. And like Laura was just saying, it's not the miles, because you really could be 5 miles to me is really far. I live in DC and five, for example, I live all the way in the upper northwest portion where you can walk to Bethesda, to Chevy Chase, and right over the bridge to McLean, Virginia is very close, very close. Like these areas are less than 10 minutes, they're practically walkable. But for me to get to Capitol Hill all the way on the other side of the city, it's not even 5 miles. It takes 30 minutes with no traffic. If I am going there during rush hour, I give myself almost an hour because of traffic. So that's the interesting thing about this area.
So in Maryland, you got to fight through a little bit more of the city to get there, as opposed to Virginia. You're kind of, when the moment you hit DC, you're kind of downtown.
You have to cross a bridge in Virginia. So in my opinion, it's a little, you're dealing with crossing water. And so
it's not one bridge. There's several.
There's bad traffic on them. But anyway.
Tracy, you're on the other side of the bridge.
I am in McLean, Virginia. And okay. So it is depending on the time of day and you know, where you're trying to get in the city. Obviously, you have to kind of plan around that. But I think that people coming into our area are looking for where their commute is going to be. And I think COVID changed a lot of the commuting in how many days a week they had to go into the office or work from home, or whether they needed to be near the metro in order to commute versus drive. And what industry are they in? So we have certainly headquarters for, I would say, over 100 of regional and national headquarters that are in our area. So a lot of times that is a driving factor to what location, whether it's Virginia, Maryland, or DC.
Has that been really the shift? Because that was my, when I used to be in the internet business before I was in real estate, and everybody in the internet business back in the 90s figured out that Northern Virginia was the center of the internet. It was the backbone. It's where the backbone was. Since that time, I think 300 data centers have sprung up in Northern Virginia, and it is, I think my perception is that it's the number one industry is technology and internet related services. And so it seems to me that Tracy, being on your side of the river, the McLean, you say, you know, DC is important, but it's not the most important. It's not driving our economy. It's not driving our real estate. Is that an accurate assessment? It used to be maybe in the 80s, but once the internet got invented by Al Gore, Northern Virginia, it became the number one industry in Northern Virginia. Is that accurate?
Yes, I would say that that's accurate. I think that Virginia is a little bit more business friendly. So that's why I think you're having a lot of the data centers that are out in Loudoun County. They have, you know, and that's servicing data from all over the world, but they're not necessarily the offices where people go in and work from. So I think even remotely working or working in a lot of other cities like Reston or Chantilly or Arlington, there are many other areas in Virginia that people may be going into, even if the data is being stored out in Loudoun County.
Now, I'm going to put the screen up again. You keep talking about out in Loudoun County. I see Washington. I know you're in McLean. Where is this Loudoun County?
So you want to go west? Yes. Yeah, so,
zoom out a bit.
So you need to go further to the left or on the screen west.
Okay.
So where Dulles Airport is,
yes,
and that corridor going all the way to the Potomac River. So going north.
Right.
You're encompassing Leesburg.
Okay.
So you'll see Ashburn. So Ashburn is a high concentration of those data centers.
Okay.
And then if you go further west, that's Leesburg. You go further south, you'll basically get down to Chantilly. Chantilly is like the border of Fairfax County into Loudoun County. And
so is it fair to say that Reston was the first maybe batch of data centers, and then the data center and tech industry moved up
west,
here to Ashburn and down here to Chantilly?
Yes, it was certainly the land that was available to be developed. So there was vast acreage west and around Dulles Airport.
So it was Tyson's and Reston, and now we've moved west of Dulles. So it's really, Dulles is the center. People want to be close to the airport so they can get somewhere else, I guess. But so it's really not centered around Washington, D.C. anymore.
Well, they extended the metro all the way out to Dulles Airport last November.
Mm.
So that also gives people that want to live out in that Brambleton, Stone Ridge, Broadlands, and they opened up a metro station at Moorefield Station. So
has it be, can I ask you something? Oh, I lived there in the 90s, early 90s. It was a long, long time ago. And all that area was very, it was kind of sparse. And there were neighborhoods, and there were all kind of these new manufactured neighborhoods and things like that. And it seems to me that now it's so much more dense. Have a lot of those neighborhoods matured? Is it, you know, does it feel like it might feel like in Alexandria that has a tremendous long history, you know, about it? Does it feel like that? Or does it still feel like this new kind of, you know, these new neighborhoods with like little strip malls everywhere and things like that?
Well, you don't have the historic value that Old Town Alexandria or Alexandria with older homes that were built many years ago. When Loudoun County really took off maybe about 20 years ago, they are big planned communities. So they have shopping centers, they have schools, they have businesses all around these planned neighborhoods built in with recreation. And so a lot of these planned developments have kind of started to merge together. They were vast lands, and certainly they're reserving green space in a lot of them, but you're also merging major neighborhoods that are 3,000 and 4,000 homes in one neighborhood, and they're starting to blend together.
Melody, it looks awful cold to be Virginia. It's not the Virginia I'm imagining.
We had a ton of snow until this morning. It's heated up to like 50 something degrees and it all melted. So, yes.
It doesn't look like it's all melted. It looks cold. It looks colder than Virginia should look.
Well, you know, we are Northern Virginia.
Oh,
not Southern Virginia. Yes.
I was just going to add one thing that Tracy said. About the planned community. I know, Roberto, you were asking about that. Reston, fun fact here, Reston was one of the first ever planned communities in the United States, whereas they built the town center around it. And it became a prototype to what kind of took off all over the country, that these, that, you know, build condos, build multifamily, single family around a town center. And that was in the 70s. And Roberto, you may have, you know, I don't know. That was used to be so far west.
And really, and good then, friends who lived there. We used to go there all the time.
Right.
But it was kind of going there. You know, we were like, oh, we're going to their house. Okay, so we got to go. But it was fine. But it was very sparse.
Yeah.
It wasn't as, you know, I'm assuming now, because everybody says it's changed so much and everything has grown out, further and further. And I'm just assuming that there's a density that's just started to spread that way, which also makes me think that anybody who's commuting to the city is not probably moving there, because it must be really onerous to go all the way into the city with the traffic. I remember Route 7 was horrible.
Right. No, it's actually, as Tracy said, the Metro, which is our subway system, keeps sprawling out west. So the subway system is so convenient. And then we have the Beltway, and we have major arteries that keep getting wider and wider. I think we're up to 6 lanes or 8 lanes now. So it's really sprawling towards there. And then the data centers, one other fact about that, and John, when I first met you, you were funny. You said the data centers live there. Why shouldn't I? 70% of the world's data goes through the Ashburn area. So it is truly, but nobody really lives near a data center.
It's not the desired location, a big building, but yeah.
So how do we know what the desired, that's the key word here. What is the desired location? And to qualify me, when I show up, do you say, oh, are you DC centric or are you Northern Virginia, you know, data center centric? Or are you school system? Are you looking for a great school system? Are you looking for, you know, so what is it that you're going to ask me first in order to start to guide me in the right direction?
Budget. It's really, you get the reason why people move, in my experience, so far out, because we're getting into like really long commutes into the city, is because of affordability. You just, as you get further away from DC, you get more for your money the further out you go. So McLean is very affluent. It's expensive. It's right next to DC. It's close, you know, and these, it's an established neighborhood. So people really are, and same with the Maryland side, going going further out is the generally the reason is because of affordability. It's just price per foot is so much higher when you're in the city and when you're super close in, you get more for your money the further out you go. Now, there are other reasons, like you cannot get, you cannot live on 3 acres. It's very rare, like in DC or in like very, very close in Maryland. Like you have to go to Potomac and it's very beautiful and there are these sprawling estates. So for sure, there are people there that are super wealthy that are choosing those neighborhoods like McLean on the Virginia side because they're beautiful communities with like amazing estates where you can have a tennis court in your backyard and a pool and a pool house that it's really hard to find and unbelievably exorbitantly expensive if you could find it like super, super close in there, Kenwood, and there are parts of Chevy Chase where you can get that for a lot of money. But that is generally my experience. The reason people call me, they tell me their budget and that's where they're, that's like the neighborhoods are really based their search.
What's a lot of money?
Yeah.
3 acres in Potomac.
Yeah.
It's not like those, I mean, their homes, I mean, how would they ever come on the market, but you see estates, I mean, that are like, you know, $8-5+ million that are, it just depends on how much land.
But you don't, do you see $15 million estates?
Rarely, but it exists. Rarely. And honestly, a lot of times these people, they build these incredible prop homes. They're once in a lifetime places. They really hardly ever go on the market, but it's rare you're in that price point. I mean, the highest sale in DC and Maryland, I don't know what the highest one was in Virginia now, I'm forgetting. I just saw the stats, but it doesn't come anywhere near that. The highest sale in DC last year was $17 million, and that's because it was a 6-acre parcel, and it was appealing to developers.
So, where? Laura, just curious, literally across the river is where you are. What's the difference between Great Falls, Potomac?
Not a lot. Great Falls, there is acreage requirements. So you have anywhere from the least would be 1 acre up to 5, 10, 15 acres. That's rare. Most of them are 5 and 10, but the minimum is 1 acre. Most everybody's on septic and well in Great Falls. So that's, some people don't like that, but you're have talking land. About
Great Falls here. And Potomac Falls is roughly here.
No, yes? Potomac, no. Across, literally to the right of Great Falls, across the river.
Right there. Potomac.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Literally.
So is this Great Falls, Potomac, a place of big estates? If I have $10 million and I want something really special, you might take me to these two places?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And McLean.
Or if you want to be like Georgetown in Washington, D.C. or very close in.
Oh, no. I want green space. I don't want to be chock-a-block down in Georgetown. I want some elbow room.
Well, so
I have
County
to go to Potomac, Great Falls, and McLean for that mm-hmm. elbow room, that 3 acres?
Yes.
Okay. And is it worth more if I am on the river?
Yes, absolutely.
Exponentially more?
Yes.
Yes. Would you ever suggest I go to Middleburg or is that too far out?
Well, it depends on what you want. If you're an equestrian and you love the horses and you love, 30, 50, 100 acres, Middleburg is the place to be.
And for
oh my God, it's way out here. It looks like it's like.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Green.
It's all just green nothing around the Middleburg.
But fourth homes, many of them, many people in Washington own vacation properties there.
In Middleburg.
Yeah, it's horse country. It's beautiful. It's about an hour and it's a great getaway.
Maybe also a lot of wineries.
All right. So then let's say you were talking the other day and I pulled up the map of what's available and it looks like 2,600 are these indication of how many listings are available, the density of listings? Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And you were saying that yesterday, this one at 18680 Riverlook Court in Leesburg went under contract. So tell me about what 3 million gets me, because 3 million is really sort of a sweet spot in New Canaan, Connecticut right now. Right. And I think that 3 million would get you, might get you this kind of a house in New Canaan. So I identify with this kind of house. How much acreage?
Before you talk about it, just tell us what, like, how far it is from DC, and then you can keep going.
I see the green space I want.
Yeah. So Leesburg, this listing is kind of an anomaly because it's on 8.3 acres in Leesburg. And it has water access. It bumps up to a creek, a real pretty creek. But it's $3 million. It's about 10,000 square feet. That includes a guest quarter above the garage. It's three full levels. What else am I missing, guys?
seven car garage.
That's right. Thanks, seven. Emily.
Yeah, and that
seven,
kitchen.
That's good for you, John.
The kitchen is to die for. It's beautiful.
So yeah. I will say you get this out in Leesburg for $3 million, but if you put this house with its acreage in Great Falls, Potomac, or McLean, it probably doubles because of how much closer you are into the city, like everyone's been saying.
Yeah. Desirability of the like McLean and Great Falls, just, you know, much more expensive. Mm-hmm.
But if you want to find something in Great Falls and Potomac, I mean, is there inventory?
We're in such an inventory shortage. I mean,
low inventory.
You have to be really patient. It exists. Same with Potomac. It exists. It's just that we're month after month, our prices are still going up a little bit each month. Every single month, our volume is down. Our inventory is down.
Can we just quickly talk about one thing, which is, regardless of all the different industries that are there, DC is obviously a very political town. And every 4 years or every 8 years, there's a whole different administration that comes in. And there's a lot of people that have come to the city for that, and then they're gone. Is there a tremendous amount of transiency with, like, on a cycle like that? And because of that, is a lot of your housing product rental property?
No, now DC used to be such a political centric town, but with the amount of business that has come to the region, there's someone else ready to scoop up any house that, you know, a senator
on a sale side.
On a sale side.
They just go through that cycle and they're out. 4 years and they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, rental rates are actually, they have increased a lot, especially last year, because of the desirability of the area and our lack of inventory right now. So, and everybody has to be here and have a place to live. So some people had to move into rentals and are just waiting for that house to pop up, but the low inventory holds them back.
Is the majority of your housing stock sale property, or is it rental?
Sale for single family and townhomes, usually rental for condos. I mean, there's apartment buildings, but mostly single owner properties. Yeah.
Because here in New York, 70% of our housing stock is rental property, which is astonishing.
Yeah.
No, no,
not the case here.
Mm-hmm. And there, we have really tight inventory. I've actually had a few people get in touch with me. Most of us don't even do rentals here. Like, agents who do sales don't do rentals, but occasionally do. And so I've had a few people reach out this past week, and they're really in high price points for rentals. Like, they're willing to spend a month on a rental here because they're not sure if they're going to stay or if it's a short-term position. But for this area, it's really high. I mean, like a $10,000 budget, you know, $10,000 a month. That's a big budget, and there's very little to look at for single family.
Is part of that because they can't find what they want to buy also at all?
In my experience, oftentimes people come here and they are scared to commit to a neighborhood because the neighborhood's so important to them. And they want to figure out, like, where are they, like, and if they have kids, like, what schools they like. So they want to come and kind of test drive at first the area. So oftentimes that's what I'm hearing, why people want to come here and rent first, because of, like, this conversation, the differences in the neighborhoods, the schools, like, what your lifestyle is going to be like. Do you want to be able to go downtown for dinner? Like, you know, even if you are a couple miles outside the city, you know, like, for example, Loudoun, that's really far to get into DC to go out to dinner. And I find that, you know, people sometimes, it's a lifestyle decision.
Let's talk about schools. Where, I mean, public schools are, there certain areas of Northern Virginia and Maryland where the public schools are considered very good? And then how many people are really opting for the private schools, the Episcopals, the Madeiras, and all that type of thing?
So I will say Fairfax County, well, Virginia in general is actually fourth in the country in terms of their public school education. Specifically, Fairfax County is the best in the state. So that Northern Virginia hub still. But of course, McLean and Great Falls, the reason why so many people also go there, well, one, the land, but then two, you go to Langley High School, which is the number one school in the state. So there are a lot of other schools that are good in Nova, but generally that's why the biggest and the most affluent people go into McLean and Great Falls specifically.
How big is that school? I mean, I'm just trying, I want to picture it. The high school in New Canaan is 1,200 kids.
So I went there myself. I graduated about 5-6 years ago. I probably had 2,500, 3,000 kids in my class. It's mainly because we're so
in your small. Class, not in the school. In your class, well,
actually, no, sorry, in the whole school, because we're so spread out here. Like we've talked about with the acreage and everything, we're not as densely populated. We've started to bleed into other cities like Falls Church and whatnot to put more into our school because there just aren't as many kids to fill in. Because right now we're a 6A level school, which is the largest. And there's been talk about Langley fluctuating on that because of our population not being as high as the other 6A schools around us.
What about Maryland, school-wise?
That's, in my experience, it's similar to what Emily was just saying, that the Montgomery County Public Schools are so highly rated, especially in Chevy Chase, Bethesda and Potomac, super duper, like off the charts. The schools are so highly regarded. My experience is that once you get into the higher price points, none of those people are sending their kids to the public schools. Even it still drives the property value and it's still an absolute plus and it still attracts people. But my experience is that they still choose the private schools. Montgomery County and DC proper happen to have the vast majority of like those kind of, I mean, there are a handful on the Northern Virginia side, but I'd say the vast majority of like the elite private schools are really in DC and close in Maryland. And so my experience has been a lot of times when people are specifically already know their kids are going to Sidwell, Georgetown Day, Holton Arms, Bullis, Norwood, all then they want to be in close in Maryland because the commute from Virginia is, it's really awful to do that. Like to be crossing the bridge and having that kind of commute for their kids. And I have a lot of friends who do now live on the Virginia side and they're doing the commute and they joke. They're like, we pass your house every day, like 5 minutes before we hit our kids' school. But I mean, great public schools and DC, even inside in DC proper, our elementary schools are really highly rated and have great communities and the neighborhoods really do feed the schools. Especially in Upper Northwest and also on Capitol Hill and even downtown, quite a few of the elementary schools are now really popular. Like they're highly rated because the neighborhood people have started really sending their kids to school there and getting involved and supporting the PTA. And people do send their kids to even middle and high school here in DC. They do, you know.
What I hear you saying in the parallel for a New Yorker watching this show is that if you're moving to the New York area, there are pockets of New Jersey with great schools, Long Island, great schools, Westchester County, New York, Fairfield County, Connecticut. There's a handful in each, depending on what your tolerance is for the commute. Are you one of those people who needs to be within 20 minutes of your office, or can you move within an hour of your office and you get the green space? In both cases, you're saying that there's some great schools in Maryland, there's some great schools in DC proper and in Northern Virginia driving this decision.
Yeah, we have great schools here. We have great public schools. I still find that once you get to a certain price point of a client, the vast majority of them are sending their kids to private school. And it's been my experience for now, this is my 20th year, and I had plenty of friends, clients that I helped them buy and sell when they were younger before they had kids. And they chose to move out to the burbs because they thought they really wanted public schools. They didn't want to be in DC. And then they moved out to these neighborhoods and they never even sent their kids to public schools. They ended up going to private school anyway.
So when we talk about the suburbs, we're talking north of the city, west of the city, a little bit south, but we're not talking anything east, which I guess is all Maryland. Has that developed at all? Is it socioeconomically different? Like what's going east from the city?
You get more for your money. Okay, you pulled up the map. You're a little too far over. But yeah, once you get east in Montgomery County and to the counties, to the east of that, I think there are pockets with good schools, but the general perception is really still that and Montgomery County is just much more highly rated for the school system.
So luxury market, I'm not going to find a luxury market east of Washington, D.C. I'm going to focus north and west. Yes?
Go ahead.
You get a good luxury market when you go farther east and hit Annapolis.
Yeah, by the water.
Yeah.
Which is not
a lot of second homes there.
Correct.
Got it.
Most like the similar to Middleburg. You're going all the way. It's like the second homes or people who want to live on the water is Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really commuting into DC. They have their own wonderful community and it's second homes and it's people who choose that lifestyle. I wouldn't call it a suburb of Washington, DC.
So what's changed? We had COVID change, disrupted the real estate market everywhere. And we've come out of COVID and in our markets, a lot of the priorities have shifted for people, green space, commute. So what's changed in the last couple of years? What's become more desirable? What's become less desirable? Well, where's the emphasis?
During COVID, DC saw a mass exodus of people who were tired of being in their condo buildings. They wanted to get out. So Great Falls had been kind of a stagnant market for a while, and it just exploded. Awesome. Everything that came on the market. Multiple offers gone in a day.
What's the sweet spot in Great Falls when that exodus came out? The $1 million, the 2 million, the 1 acre?
Well,
the half acre?
So there's the minimum of an acre usually, and a house would go on for like 1.1 and it would sell at 1.6. It was just, there was so much demand and people wanted their breathing room.
Is that
That's
still
a big
happening?
Bidding war right there. Wow.
Is that still happening, 1.1 million, or we don't see 1.1 million anymore? Now we're starting at 1.6 million?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everything's been repriced.
Yeah.
30% higher.
Likewise on the Maryland side. I mean, Potomac, you know, with the joke was kind of like, well, Potomac was like impossible to sell these giant houses forever and ever. And all of a sudden you can't, they were selling not only immediately, but in multiples of what, you know, just so much higher than they ever had.
And those prices have all sustained with even with interest rates that have skyrocketed?
Oh, yes, because of our lack of inventory. Oh, yes.
Are most of those deals cash?
It depends what price point. Once you get over 3 in my market, you're usually seeing cash. Not usually over 3 million, but still, you know, under that, I'd say I'm still seeing a lot of loans.
And $3 million is getting to the point where it may not go in the first weekend, or is that like, nope, we're still in the sweet spot where I got more buyers at the $3 million mark than I have inventory. If I have a good house, well-priced, bang, first weekend. True?
And if it's priced well, it doesn't matter what the price point, if it's unique in a neighborhood where there's so little inventory, it doesn't matter. I mean, I lost in multiple offers on a $5 million house in DC, in Cleveland.
And that's still going on. This isn't last year. This is going
on. This is recently, but it was super unique. Sure. And in a neighbor, like beautiful street, a lot of land. I mean, that happens in DC. It was like backed up to the park and it had hiking trails behind it. It was incredible.
So this is your buyer who missed this?
Yeah, I mean, we got
so so now what? Like, what?
Gary, you need to wake up them, earlier like... in the morning.
So what, but what's next for them?
Some flowers. They're coming back in. They're out of towners. They're moving here. I have a lot of buyers moving from other places. So they're moving. From
Will you still have things? Will you find them something in the foreseeable future? Or is it going to be like, wow, it could be a long haul here?
Yeah, things do generally in that price point. Once you get to be like, you know, 4 and 5 million, like you said, oftentimes they don't sell immediately. But if it's really unique and priced well compared to what else, and there's not much that is sold that's like it, but compared to what, if there's a value there, if the buyers see the value, if it looks unique and it has value, then it will still sell immediately, regardless of the price point. So that property that was 17 million that I mentioned, which is right down the street from me near American University and near right next to the Japanese embassy, it was 6 acres. They had multiple offers on that $17 million property because developers were bidding on a really unique parcel of land that, you know, it's that you could walk to the metro, walk to restaurants. You
so
know,
it's going to be subdivided, all that.
Yes, I think so.
Sounds so, like you're in the high rent district, Sherry. I mean,
yeah, no, I live, names. You know, I said I can walk to, and my kids go to public school in DC, by the way. So I'm not so fancy, but I can, I'm on a half an acre here in DC, but I can walk to a restaurant. I can walk to Bethesda also. We could walk to the metro, although we don't use it, you know? So I like the walkability piece.
Is there walkability in Northern Virginia?
It depends which pocket. I mean, definitely over toward the east end and south of DC, like Alexandria, Old Town, it has a...
Yeah.
Strong Georgetown kind of characteristic to it. Definitely there, Delray. They're actually out in Fairfax. They're starting to make these planned communities with condos, the Mosaic District. You know, it has a Target, it has a theater, it has shopping, tons of restaurants. I mean, people just flock to it. So there is walkability.
Who are these buyers? I'm trying to understand demographically what's driving all this demand. And when we look, and we've done a couple shows on demographics, and we've been watching the millennials now hit the center of the millennials is now a 40-year-old, and considering the suburbs, buying a house in order to you know, focus on a family, that's one of the drivers of the market. We've seen the baby boomers are trying to downsize into. So, what's driving these markets? Where what are the typical buyers, and what are the and what's driving this huge demand?
There's such a wide range. I mean, we have CEOs with all the big companies coming in, and Amazon's H2Q is now here. That caused a huge insurgence of everything from investors who wanted to scoop up rental properties, you know, everything down in Arlington that was going to be around that H2Q, HQ2, just it, properties that had been sitting on the market for months were gone the next day, like over asking.
You hear that, Roberto? Could have been Queens.
Could have been New York. That's what I'm thinking the whole time. I'm like, what a disaster.
We did a show on that specifically around HQ2. So saying, well, what happened since Amazon decided not to come? And we did a whole show on that. So this is really interesting to us. What does happen when headquarters announces? You're saying big driver for that market.
Yeah, definitely Tyson's Corner specifically. So it's a little bit more east of McLean. It definitely is, at least the when you're talking about millennials, I have way too many people, friends renting right now in Tyson's Arlington because there are so many companies headquartered there. Specifically like Capital One, we got Big Four, we got Fortune 500 companies that are all in that Tyson's Arlington and a little bit DC, but there's so many in Northern Virginia. So that's why you see a lot of people renting or living on maybe this side of the river and working and only having to commute into Virginia versus all the way into DC. But Tyson's is also another great walkability area. There's a huge mall, a lot of strip parts in between it. But in terms of just population, everything for that young age, it's definitely been Tyson's and Arlington for Virginia, I feel like.
And that rental, and those rentals are turning into the first time home buyers. So just like what you were saying about the home buyers, millennials topping at about 40, you're starting to see that 28 to 40 range really getting into the first time home buyer market.
Are your buyers waiting for affected by interest rates, or are they more affected by a lack of inventory? It sounds to me like it's the lack of inventory is the biggest challenge, not affordability.
So I would say between June, July of last summer until about November, there was a slowing of, because of the interest rates going up, the buyers were slowing and pulling back a little bit. In November, December, we saw an increase. The talk about interest rates dropping, once we saw the interest rates dropping into the sixes, we had a huge resurgence of buyers back into the market. And we were advising our clients to really buy now, because we felt that when it gets to be the spring market, and even though the interest rates will continue to at least report to continue to possibly drop again in March, that you're then going to be competing with everyone else in the spring market, and prices will increase. Your likelihood of obtaining your dream home, you might have to go multiple offers in order to get to that home. And so we definitely saw an increase with our first-time homebuyers realizing that they don't want to be in the competition. They want to secure a home.
So you guys have a lot of international people come through there. Are they buyers or are they renters?
We're really buyers. Yeah.
Yeah. It can vary. We have actually embassy people that might be here for 2, 3, 4, or 5 year period. So it really depends on their position and whether their plan is to stay longer, or is their term 2 years, they would be more likely a renter. But as you know, their affordability would also drive that as well. What price point do they want to be in, and what their lifestyle is, will also be a driving factor.
And Roberto, you brought up an interesting fact about the foreign market. There's so many headquarters or foreign companies that have U.S. headquarters here, like Volkswagen, Rolls-Royce, Nestle is actually, there's a lot of them, and they're in the Northern Virginia. The headquarters are there. So they're coming here, and they're coming here long-term.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of foreign service officers, like over the years I've had, they'd buy a property here and they weren't even planning to move in. It would be their home base. They would rent it. They'd rent it out for, you know, the next 15 years. They just have it. And it was mentioned before, but last year we were on the top 20 list for where ultra high net worth people own homes, on the top 20 list of the entire world. You know, they're with Dubai. So there are a lot of people, they're coming from abroad, that they want to have an extra, they have an extra place here. Sometimes these extra places, they're like in the form of an embassy, but we have a lot of uber wealthy people here that own property here. And my personal experience is really the job market is what drives why people move here. It is fun. I've had a handful of downsizer clients the past year or two from clients of mine. Their parents are moving to be near them, or they're young downsizers that don't have kids at home and like find this city to be fun and interesting and want to have even like close in Merrill. And they find these communities in Chevy Chase where you can walk to things, but you have some space. It's just appealing to them. I had a call with new potential buyers. They've never been to Washington. They're moving from Ridgefield, Connecticut, which I've heard is just lovely, but they have friends in DC. They've heard it's amazing here. They want to retire or downsize here in this area.
Ridgefield, Connecticut is beautiful.
And they've never been here. And they just said, we've decided, we've heard it's this and that. It has all the culture. It has the fun outdoor markets. It has the museums. And like, we're such a culture rich area. So we do have people that move here for that also. I still think the job, in my experience, it's jobs. We have such a strong job market here. We're insulated by the government. We have so many companies. We have all these government contractors. Our job market is just amazing here. And that's what protected us after the crash of 2008. We didn't have the same crash that so many of the other markets did because of that.
Historically, let's talk about the second home. Historically, the New Yorker, he drives out to the Hamptons, maybe he goes to the Vineyard. What we've now begun to see is splitting their time between New York and Florida, Connecticut and Florida. Are you seeing the same kind of, and California has experienced the same thing with Texas, right? So are you experiencing, because what I'm hearing is that historically they go east to Annapolis if they're interested in the water, they go west out to their horse farm to their second home. Are you starting to see a change in those patterns?
Florida is a big second market for us.
Absolutely.
And hence that importance of being near Dulles and being able to get in
National Airport. National Airport is like really more the DC airport. Dulles is 30 minutes outside of DC, 40 minutes. So National Airport is the one that's right outside of DC. That's the closer. That's really the DC airport.
But I can get a horse farm and still be 15 minutes, 20 minutes from Dulles and head on down to Florida. Are you seeing people starting to do that?
Oh yeah.
The horse farm and the Florida, and DC is like not what it was, unless I need to have a government job downtown or a contract.
Unless they have
downtown.
Their private jet that has a private, and Leesburg has a private jet airport. So they could have that. But Dulles Airport being an international airport as well, and also has a hub for private planes. A lot of CEOs, keep their planes there, but yes, they, that secondary market is definitely what Melody said, Florida.
Yeah. And we have flights from National Airport that leave. It's just an easier airport to get in and out of. You can't use it for international travel, but for getting in and out, it's just it's a quicker airport. It's a smaller airport that they have flights like on the hour to Naples, West Palm, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Dulles does.
No, I'm talking about National Airport.
National is more convenient.
Yeah. For people that really live close in the city and close in, and for these quick flights, commuting, it's a much quicker airport to get in and out of. Dulles is a huge international airport with multiple terminals, and you're taking those trams.
Shuttles.
What would be your elevator pitch to me if I was, I'm so tired of New York. It's actually gotten too much, and it's expensive. And I work remotely. I can work anywhere. I was thinking about going to a smaller city, Boston, Chicago, maybe Charlotte, maybe DC. What's the elevator pitch for DC? For DC, DMV. For the DMV.
We've got it all.
Oh, come on.
Well, you go a little farther east, we have beaches. It's just, we've got the water. We've got something for everyone. There's the hiking. There's the art. It's an art lover's dream. And unlike other cities like New York, Philadelphia, it's free. We have such a wealth of museums at our fingertips, and you can see most of DC without spending a dime.
Melody, nothing's free.
It's free. You pay your taxes and then it's free.
See?
And also to add to Melody, the wineries, Tracy mentioned this earlier in the program. Virginia has close to 300 wineries. Believe it or not, it's the sixth largest winery area in the country. So Thomas Jefferson had it right when he said, Virginia has the topography for vineyards. So it's got amazing amount of vineyards, amazing amount of breweries. Like she said, we're 3 hours from beaches. We have mountains, trails, the museums. You've got green space, and it's a less expensive area.
It's a livable city here, is what I say to people when they're moving. It's really a livable city. You can, even in DC and very close in versus New York City, you can have a house with a yard and still live inside the city limits and be able to walk to things and have this lifestyle that's a little bit city and a little bit suburban with all these wonderful cultural things to do. I think the other really, the plus that we haven't discussed here is really the people. This DC, the DMV, really, we have people from all over the world and also from all over the country. So it, and that's one of the first things people will ask you when you meet them, where are you from? The norm is that you're from somewhere else. So it has this welcoming vibe. Like my daughter's third grade class, a new kid just started 2 weeks ago from Italy. He speaks really no English, you know, and immediately like we're like, you know, making the mom, you know, it's just a really, that's normal. It's not abnormal. You know, I'm sure he'll find other kids from Italy mm-hmm. in third grade, maybe not in the class. It's just people are from everywhere here. It's really, you might meet the most interesting, smartest people in this area.
I agree with you. I think that the highest level of education that you're going to find, that people who are in this area do have a very cultural diversity. They have high levels of education. They value education. And I think you're right, livability of the city. I would say what probably sets DC apart, maybe from New York, is that there's a height restriction on the buildings in DC. So you do have a certain feel for DC and its green spaces and its national parks and museums that is built into the terrain and of the city. So I think it does give that different vibe.
Great show, guys. All clear.
City of Trees.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you. This has been episode 122 on the DMV, I guess, DC, Maryland, Virginia, also known, or we covered NOVA, Northern Virginia markets. I want to thank Tracy Shively and the Shively team, Melody Hooker, Laura Bean, Emily Shively. And I want to thank Shari Granvall, who from Compass, who pointed out, listen, I'm not a NOVA expert. I'm going to be talking about Maryland and the other side of the river. And you did not let us down. I will say, when I got your promotional piece this morning, I looked for the Maryland promotions, and I did not see them. So I think you need
my luxury newsletter. That's our national, like, check out all the cool sex.
I know. What's the guy got to do to get his, you know, a luxury,
getting it on,
luxury
getting
NOVA?
You're getting it on Feb 1, you check your inbox, you'll have my DMV newsletter.
Oh, and you'll definitely have ours.
Okay. So
thank you so much, guys.
Something
really
to
amazing.
Sell me. And I'm going to get, and I can subscribe to your newsletters, and you're going to send me NOVA DMV.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Excellent.
Meet everybody. Thank you for having
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And remember to tell all your friends and like, share, and comment, and spread the word. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care, guys. See you, Johnny.